hear these words from Scripture. They spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. That is about the most 21st century Scripture you can find. I think all that's missing is a Wi-Fi signal. Ancient Athens was a marketplace of ideas. It's not where you came to buy food, but it's where you came to trade opinions. And in many ways, our world is much the same. They had marble steps. We have the comments sections. They had philosophers. We have influencers. They had people gathered around to hear debate. We have followers and subscribers. Many similarities to their world and to our world. Everyone has a take. Everyone has an angle. Everyone has an audience. And Luke tells us they spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. We do the same thing. We have scrolling and streaming and refreshing, always listening for the next new thing. Some of it sounds pretty noble, doesn't it? Talks about meaning and purpose and wellness and healing, discipline and virtue. Some of the modern voices that we hear in our marketplace of ideas, they sound almost religious. Millions of us tune in every day looking for something solid to believe, because deep down, we want voices we can trust. Voices that sound like they know what life means. Voices that can make sense of all the noise. That's where we find Paul today. He's in another marketplace of ideas full of smart, curious people who love to talk about the latest thing, but didn't know anything about the lasting one. And in the middle of all that noise, Paul's story today feels shockingly current. When we meet him in Acts chapter 17, he's been traveling through northern Greece on what we call his second missionary journey. And he's been kicked out of a lot of towns along the way, because wherever he goes, people tend to start revivals or riots or both. And so while he's waiting for his friends Silas and Timothy to catch up with him, he spends some time in Athens, the cultural and intellectual capital of the ancient world. If Jerusalem was known for its faith, Athens was known for its philosophy. It was a city covered in shrines and statues and temples. It was a reminder that they worshiped everything except the one true God that Paul proclaimed. And it's here, surrounded by art and architecture and ideas, that Paul's story in Acts chapter 17 unfolds. Luke tells it like this, Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them, that's his friends, in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day to day, with those who happened to be there. So Paul is walking the city streets, surrounded by beauty, by temples, statues, and shrines, and he feels this pain in his chest. One writer says it's the ache of love, not some rage of superiority. He doesn't storm out. He doesn't start a boycott. He goes right to where the conversations are happening, the marketplace, and he starts talking about Jesus. That's when the philosophers find him. That's when they get curious. And then Luke gives us that perfect line for our world. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. That's the Bible's way of saying they were always scrolling. Everyone's chasing the next new thought, the next hot take, the next voice. Sound familiar? So they bring Paul to the Areopagus. That's the great stage for new ideas. And they say, tell us what you got. And if you can imagine a mix of like a TED Talk and a YouTube debate channel, you have the picture of what's happening here. Paul begins respectfully, verse 22. People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. Paul doesn't mock them, he notices them. And he says, you are reaching for something real. Let me tell you what that is. In other words, he's saying, you may not know God, but he already knows you. And then Paul unfolds the story. It's not some new philosophy. It is the one true story behind all the other stories. Verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. He himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Paul quotes their own poets back to them. He speaks their language. One writer, Willie James Jennings, says, Paul sings their songs back to them until they can hear God's melody underneath. And he's describing a God whose reach stretches across the land, the sea, the sky, everything the poets and philosophers could see and imagine. And then he says, the one you've been guessing at has already come looking for you. And then Paul does what nobody in Athens expects. He says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. That's the hinge. That's where philosophy ends and witness begins. This is not some essay. This is a call to repent. Paul's words demand a response. He's not offering some new idea to debate. It's news to believe. The resurrection. It's not just a concept that you banter back and forth. It's specific. It's Jesus-centered. Paul is going to enter their turf, but he will not accept their terms. And Luke ends the scene like this. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. So some mock, some hesitate, maybe a few believe. That's the marketplace of ideas then and now. And our job isn't always to win the argument, it is to bear witness. Paul stepped into the marketplace, he spoke their language, and he told a truer story. And it makes me wonder, in our marketplace of ideas, who gets to narrate our world now? Specifically for Christians, who is narrating our world? Paul stood in that marketplace of ideas, and every generation since has built its own version of the Areopagus, a place where you trade thoughts and theories and stories about what life means. And different people have gotten to tell those stories through the ages. In earlier eras, maybe it was your family name, that got you credibility. Maybe it was the school that you went to or the degree that you had. Maybe it was at some time the major broadcasting network who carried your voice. But now things have changed. And for better or for worse, official expertise or credentials mean way less. These days, authority seems to come from this. I don't know if you can recognize this. This is the Shure SM7B. It is the microphone that has launched 1,000 podcasts. It was invented in the 70s for radio announcers. Michael Jackson apparently used it to record some of Thriller. But a few decades later, people realized it made everyone's voice sound golden. And it became the badge of every podcaster and every YouTuber. You can find it on Rogan, Marin, NPR, name your podcast. Somewhere along the way, this stopped being a tool for recording, and it started to be a badge of authority. If you've got one of these things, people assume you know what you're talking about. You can tell the world what's wrong with it for the price of a microphone and a Wi-Fi signal. And if you sound confident enough, you can get a following. If you sound spiritual enough, you can get believers. If you sound outraged enough, you can get clicks. So maybe authority used to come from education or ordination. I think now it comes from amplification. And I'll admit, you know, sometimes I've thought about preaching into one of these. Just see if it got more attention.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you really want to level up, you got to get up at 5 a.m., hit that cold plunge, write in the gratitude journal, get some protein in. Because you can't win the day if you don't start with winning breakfast, am I right? Why is no one talking about this? Quick break. This sermon is sponsored by Alpha Grains, the only cereal infused with collagen, lion's mane, and a hint of regret. Because if you're not optimizing breakfast, what even are you doing? So like I was saying, the universe rewards intention. So just like, intend harder.
That kind of felt powerful, didn't it? That little piece of metal can make anything sound true. Because that's what this represents, power. If you hold the mic, you hold the story. And even before this mic, there was talk radio and opinion shows on cable news and a bunch of other pre-podcast, pre-YouTube influencers. We live in an age where Christians don't just want to speak to the world's philosophers. Sometimes we want to speak like them, and sometimes even on the same subjects. Meaning, discipline, self-control, masculinity, wellness, motivation. Those are good conversations. But when the conversations end there, when they never get to Jesus, when they never talk about resurrection, then we're not doing what Paul did. We're just echoing the world's noise, baptized in some Bible verses or some spiritual-sounding phrases. Many of the influencers and podcasters we listen to are smart and compelling and often very insightful. They diagnose real aches in our culture. But notice what's missing in their content. Resurrection. Jesus. So the human culture will get dissected but never redeemed. They might offer strategies. They have nothing to say about salvation. Paul stepped into a similar crowd, thoughtful, educated, maybe a little restless, but he doesn't give them self-help. He gives them a living hope. He talks about a God who raised someone from the dead, a God who upends all of the old systems of credibility. In God's kingdom, truth doesn't need a mic to be true. The cross, not the microphone, is where authority is revealed. The resurrection, not some algorithm, is what gives a message weight. You can almost hear Paul saying to us, don't trade the gospel's power for a platform's reach. In a world obsessed with voices, with talk coming all over the place, our task is to make sure the world still hears the voice, the one that calls people not just to subscribe, but truly to follow. Paul did not come to Athens to sound impressive. He came to bear witness. He didn't bring self-help tips for better living. He brought news of new life. He didn't say, here's how to find yourself. He said, here's the God who has already found you. And Luke tells us that some sneered, and some said, yeah, we'll want to hear you again. And a few believed. That's the same response we get today. Some might mock it. That message is too strange. Some will delay. Now, I'll think about it. Let's talk about it some more. And then talk about it some more. And we'll just keep talking about it. But some believe. Because there's something in them that recognizes that that voice is calling out to them. And so maybe you came today curious. Curious about faith, curious about meaning, curious about God's call for your life and the whole story of Jesus. And I want to say that is good. But curiosity is only the first step. The invitation from God is to move from talking about Jesus, talking about truth, to being known by truth himself. The God who made the world, the God whom Paul told the Athenians about, he is still near. And he's not waiting for you to achieve enlightenment. He's not hoping that you will optimize your existence. He's already stepped into your story. He knows you're searching. He knows your heartache. And because of Jesus Christ, he's already written you into his story. And for all of us, maybe today is the day we stop gathering around the microphone. Stop chasing platforms because they get a lot of attention. Start listening to a person. Because see, not everyone in Athens was a philosopher. They didn't all have a mic. But they gathered around those who did. And they sat there debating, and they sat there listening, and chewing on things, and never doing anything about it. But in the end, the gospel is not just one idea in the marketplace of ideas. It's not just something we talk about like it's a concept that we can just keep pondering. It is the voice who spoke into the tomb of a dead man and was heard on the other side. That is the voice Paul is talking about. And so our question, what are we going to do with that voice? And who gets to tell us the truth? Would you pray with me? God of the living, in a world of endless talk, teach us to listen for your voice. Move us from curiosity to conviction, from speculation to surrender, from knowing about you to being known by you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.